Well, we can get started with our interview. We're here with
Mary Jensen and Sarah Evans from the Forest Bird Charter School. So why don't we jump in? Why don't we start with you, Mary, and tell us a bit about your involvement with the school, what your position is. Also, fill us in a little bit on your personal story, how you got here.
Oh, my goodness, how I got here. I'll start there and then go forward. I actually came over with my husband at the time, Sean Fitzpatrick, to help build the new high school in 2008. He was the architect on the high school. And the charter school sucked me in with its wonderful ideas of how education should be aligned with my ideas of my personal philosophy of hands-on involvement with kids. Testing is not really knowing how much the kids understand. So I was automatically asked to volunteer to help develop the new high school. The year after, in 2009, I started as a teacher and then eventually became principal and now the executive director. So I've been there for a long time, 15 years. I was just joking with Sarah. I said I've been saying 8 years for the last 7 years. It's gone so fast, and because I really enjoy it. The people I work with, the students I have, they're just all wonderful souls on this earth.
Well, Sarah, same question.
Well,
to you.
We were just talking before the show started that we both started in 2009, which we hadn't really realized. For similar reasons, the high school was starting at the charter school and they needed new teachers to come in and fill those new roles. And I actually went to the middle school at that point, and someone else moved from middle school to high school. So that's how I started there. And I'd taken a few years off to be home with my children. And it was my first year back to teaching after a 3-year break. And it was, I think, my 8th year teaching. So I came with some experience. And similar to Mary, I was really into the project-based learning and focused on authentic learning.
Well, you just mentioned project-based learning. I suppose that would be a good place to start understanding, what is Forest Bird Charter School? Mm-hmm. How does it integrate into the public picture of education, public education, and what's unique about Forest Bird compared to others charter schools?
Well, I think working there is an amazing place, and being a student there is an amazing place because of the foundation of community. That's number one. There are many reasons, but that is number one, that everyone feels like an individual there and is treated like an individual. It doesn't have that factory feel that really large public schools can sometimes have. I've worked in those kinds of schools. So that's one, is just the getting to know everybody as an individual. And then two, I think just the innovation, the hands-on learning, those kinds of things that are valued and supported by the administration in ways that maybe other schools I've been at are not.
One of the things I noticed when you walk into at least the middle school is it's so open, and that may also be the physical feeling of that school is indicative and helps support that project, what you're just talking about, the individual importance of the individual, and that the students feel. How do the students feel about that, Mary?
I was like composing my thoughts there. Sorry, a little bumble. According to our accreditation review last year, which was very high ranked, that the students love the school, and we see that every year in surveys, but we also see it in our students. They love to come into the school, they're engaged, they like their teachers. For example, we just had a young man, former student, graduated with us. He got married this summer, and his best man was one of the teachers that he had. So it is something that, it's a different feel. It's joyful to come into the school and learn, and that's what the students and the parents say. In fact, I had one parent just come in last week, and their student has been in the school for about a year now, and she says, thank you for recognizing my kid for who they are, instead of they're just a seat in a very crowded classroom. It made an entire difference. So I think the students like it, and I think the parents do too. Mm-hmm.
I agree. The small classrooms is really a big part of what makes it have a different feeling than other schools. Most of my classes last year were about 15, 16 students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So what grades do you have there at the school, and how many students overall?
We're a 6 through 12 school, and the 6th grade is a middle school, not an elementary class. And we're nearly to capacity this year. I'm so excited to say that. And so we're close to about 290 students right now.
Mm-hmm. So it's an educational decision for parents. Like, what school should their kids go to? Should they go to the public schools or to the charter school? The charter school is a public school. But why would a parent choose to have the kids in the charter school? It sounds like individual, getting to know the kids individually is a big part of it. Are there different types of courses of study that may be beneficial to certain types of kids, the way they learn?
I think that the overarching theme is they're looking for something different. And then if you get into the details of why they're looking for something different, then you get 100 different answers from 100 different people. Mm-hmm. But it could be smaller classrooms. It could be more community. It could be more hands-on. It could be less focus on testing. There are many reasons. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. We have such a wide variety of students where they're going in their pathway of life. We have students who leave the school with a associate's degree. We had 4 last year out of a class of 30 graduate students leaving with an associate's degree.
They took enough classes that were accredited at college level to actually have an associate's degree.
Yeah.
Very ambitious for a high school kid.
It is. But it's a good way to move forward and get a lot of that college paid for before you're in college. But then we have the other side of the spectrum where we have students who have IEPs and really struggled with school and that individual help and less kids in an individual classroom allowed them to grow and succeed that they probably may not have done in a larger school system.
Do you think it's the project-based learning model and the philosophy, mission, all those things of Forest Bird Charter School that does it help the student kind of have purpose and direction in their life a little bit in a organic sort of way because they're learning and having fun, they're kids, but they just have a little bit more understanding of maybe what they want to do?
Oh, absolutely. I think the individualized, it gives them buy-in. They, if they have a choice in how they're going to do a project, for instance, do you want to have your project be more art-based or do you want to do more of a physical model or do you want to write? The more choice they have, the more buy-in and the more they get to learn their own strengths. So then they have more confidence in themselves because they realize, doing a project that's really heavily writing is not for me, but speaking, oral presentations, I shine at those. So it's fun to see them explore different options and then get the ability to or the freedom to make a choice when they're presenting or learning.
Oh, and one of my favorite things of the school is third trimester projects in the high school. And the students choose their own projects of what they want to learn and expand upon that while putting the state standards in it. So they all have, we have 200 different projects being showcased at the end of that trimester. And it's amazing what those kids come up with. It's beyond my comprehension.
Can you give us an example of two of these projects?
Oh, sure. We have published authors come out of that.
We had the night suit. Remember when someone made an entire night suit out of metal?
Yes, yeah. Of last year, there was a kid who developed, oh my goodness, this is hilarious. I don't think it's actually going to take off, but he developed a chair to help stop vaping and smoking. And so whenever the chair sensed that they were vaping or smoking, it would give them a little shock and then stand up and push them out of the chair. It's just all these cute little innovations. Well, some of them are really serious innovations. Motivate the entrepreneur side of the kids or really let them know what they might want to do after. I remember one student, she thought she was going to be a doctor, and she did that whole thing about being a doctor and went through an EMT class and decided that she didn't like blood. So her whole thought of how, you know, her path changed because of the project. So it's so much fun.
It sounds like the students must have an advisor that kind of helps them get clear with what this project might be.
Yeah, we have what's called teaching coaches at the time. So our teachers move from being the main person in the classroom to coaching and helping the students develop their projects. And they're assigned that in January, that teacher, and they go with them all the way until May through the end of the project.
So it's one project per year? Basically,
or one big project a year. We have lots of little projects going through. Yeah.
So each class will do at least four big projects during the course of their career.
It's really hard to say. Yeah. It's you know, because a project can be very small. You know, it could be just a couple days, or it could take a few weeks. Mm-hmm. But I do think that in my class in science, they do about three per trimester. So that's about eight projects a year. Mm-hmm. And that's probably similar to most classes, mm-hmm. I would imagine. It just depends on the way the teacher's style is.
And some classes, they collaborate and do the projects together. So it's a bigger project, but it's involved with many different classes.
Yes.
Are there any service components to what they do at school? Do they learn through service, I guess is what I'm thinking?
When COVID happened, it kind of put a little nicks into the service projects, but we're getting back to them. And this year, I'm really excited. This is something new that every Advo class, it's like a homeroom that the kids have. Every Advo will be doing a volunteer project this year. So they're planning, the teachers are getting ready for some ideas. And once a month, there's going to be at least two service projects our school's doing out in the community. Mm-hmm.
So that would be working with a nonprofit or some other service, maybe helping the elderly or...
It's going to be up to the students. We have a lot of student choice. So in the AVOs, when they come back to school, the kids are going to talk about how they want to help their community. So it could be working with another nonprofit, but it could be shoveling sidewalks and dreadful snowfall or... We don't know. It's up to the kids.
If it was something like shoveling snow, then they would be setting up a network of how to find out who needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the part of the learning
component
of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How exciting. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about last year, and then we want to switch gears and talk about what's coming up this year. So what were some of the highlights from the past school year, 23-24?
Well, last year was a lot of change for many people. Mm-hmm. We had how many new teachers? Four? Five? Mm-hmm. No, not that many, actually. It was a little bit less. But new roles for teachers, so it felt that way. For me personally, becoming the teacher coach was really exciting last year. So helping new teachers adapt to our school, helping them understand our culture, helping them with the struggles that new teachers can have, and giving them support so that they feel... supported through those struggles as a new teacher. That was a highlight for me last year.
We moved to less of an upper-end administration, and I'm calling it a teacher-led school, so the teachers are taking a bigger part in, say, how the school is being run, so they all have different roles of that, and I think that's really cool because that voice of that teacher voice is important to creating the environment that we want for the students. We had more student voices on what they would like to with different committees. My big thing, I think, is that we're moving towards having a STEM diploma, offering a STEM diploma at the school. And so that takes a little while. So we reintroduce STEM classes, more STEM classes, focusing on more collaboration with the between the classes to get to that STEM diploma, which I hope it will be either the end of this year or next year, we'll be able to put that on the students' diplomas.
Just to clarify that a little bit, STEM you can explain that, but what's the benefit to having a STEM diploma? What does that really mean?
Well, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And I think you know, knowing that there are so many careers in those areas that you can be financially successful, and it's such a growth area where there are so many new jobs that we don't even know what those jobs are going to be. So I think that's the real benefit. And I think also showing kids that STEM is so many different things so that they don't immediately say, oh, well, I'm not good at math, and so I don't want to do STEM, which STEM is not just math, right? There's a lot of other things in there. So exploring all the ways that that STEM, that you can be participate in STEM and have a career in STEM if that interests you.
Yeah. And then having it just as a designation on the diploma, there's more opportunities for scholarships, internships. In fact, the workforce in Idaho really appreciate a STEM designation and are hiring kids out of school when they come from schools with STEM designations.
So if you're looking for a STEM diploma designation, mm-hmm. does that require the teachers that are teaching those courses to have a certain certification, or is it just a deeper dive into science, technology, and things like that?
It's a deeper dive and offering more course selections around the STEM idea. So we're adding a lot more math classes, engineering. Actually, class was being offered this year for the first time. Much more science
technology
classes,
too.
Technology.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that the students are really excited about this? And not all students have that propensity to, you know, that kind of thing. They're more artistic or like social studies, language, things like that.
I think, you know, that's why I love tying into science. We do several art projects in science, mm-hmm. and just to show them that there is a lot of creativity and imagination and design and art that goes into those careers. So I think that that's the benefit of having more STEM courses, is the kids can see that it's not, you know, it's not just robots and that, but there are robots in that.
Yeah. What I think part of the misnomer of STEM is that it takes out the languages and it takes out the humanities, and it's actually beautifully intertwined together. One of the things that I think we try really hard is to eliminate the idea that there's just English in English classes or art in art classes, or that everything works together. Like, there's so much science in just art. How the paint works, how the things blend together, or even how the brain chemistry of an artist works, it's science. Mm-hmm. So to eliminate the idea that a particular class or core class, that's all it is one of my goals, is to show the kids everything is put together.
It's connected. A great example of that, if I can share, is we wrote poems in combination with the English class about diseases that we were studying in science class. And some of the students had chosen diseases that had impacted their families. And so these poems became really deep and beautiful expressions of their emotions around the diseases that they had been studying the facts about in science class.
A lot of integration there. So STEM education is going to be an emphasis this coming school year. Mm-hmm. What do you want to tell us about any other changes ahead for the school year that's coming up?
Well, can I talk?
Yes.
Our professional development I'm really excited about. So I work with Wendy Thompson, another teacher, mm-hmm. and to set up the professional development for our school. And this year we decided to look at our mission statement and have a monthly professional development around different aspects of our mission statement. So that could be in the mission statement are things like imagination, innovation, community. What am I missing?
Those are fun.
Yeah. So that's really exciting because I think the staff is going to, we've already talked to them about it, and the buy-in was great that, yes, let's really dig deep. COVID was a big disruptor. There'd been a lot of different changes that had happened. And so it's great to kind of go back to that mission statement, which is a really exciting mission statement for a school, really.
And I'm really excited about how we're changing our math program. We want to, because our kids start in sixth grade, they come to us in all different levels and all different areas. And what hindered students, I think, in all grades, in all schools, is that in seventh grade math, they're doing seventh grade math, but they may not be ready for seventh grade math, or they may be far ahead. So we're changing our math, middle school math program to have tiers, and the students are testing into their tier level where their skills are, and then we're moving them forward individually so they can move as fast as they want. So it is really interesting. We did testing at the end of last year just to see where the kids' knowledge base on math is. And so we have some eighth grade students that are in tier one, which would be like a sixth grade math. But we also have seventh grade students in 10th grade math. And so depending on where they lie is where we're going to start them and then pull them forward.
Fantastic. We are getting close to the end. No, we still have plenty of time to keep talking. Let's look at the academic standards and goals. You've mentioned some of moving into the STEM and kind of supporting that quite a bit. But what is the, and you also mentioned that some students do higher education through the process. So where are you at with where the charter school stands academically?
I would say we're on par as the rest of the state or a little higher. It seems to be that we keep talking about COVID.
I know.
It's been 4 years ago, but COVID put a kink on where kids lie. So I feel like this is the first year that the kids are actually catching up or caught up to what it was before. If you look at our scores, it's just English and science. Wow, science. Totally rock it. Way amazing. Totally the wrong words there, but they are testing higher on the, as much higher than most of the state. And so we actually had the State Department come in and observe us 2 years ago, trying to figure out why we had such high test scores comparatively to the rest of the state. Sarah is a science teacher, so she should be super proud about that. But I think the kids, because it's individualized and we work on mastery-based learning, so they work on it and revise until they get something, has really pulled them forward.
So the pedagogy and the development and the unfolding of it, the process, kind of the philosophy, all that really supports good learning and high standards.
I think so.
And I have to say, we don't focus on test scores. We don't sit down with the kid and okay, this is where they are, this is where they need to be. We just teach and we create a love of teaching and take them where they are and move them forward. And that's what's creating, I think, our good test scores.
I agree. We don't really think about the testing so much at all. It just, when you have good teaching and you have these exciting projects for the kids to do and the buy-in because they have choice, it just unfolds in a different way in their brains where they remember what they're learning.
There's some required state testing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I was referring to.
Sure. And is that certain times of the year that occurs?
It's in the spring.
In the spring. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I do want to say, we've talked about, you know, the upper end kids, but we have 25% of our kids are on an IEP. Sure. And so those kids are seeing tremendous growth as well. So it's not... The misnomer, charter schools are just for the smart kids or the intelligent kids. All the kids are smart and intelligent in their own way. And to take them where they are and move them forward in the way they can learn is, I think, one of the successful things at Forestburg Charter School.
Absolutely. And often if you look at those test scores, those are the ones that have the most tremendous growth.
So proud of them, yeah.
Just really quickly, what is the importance of the parent partnership in sending their kids here and communication? Where does the parent component come in?
I think it's everything. I think that's a big part about our school that makes it different as well. When you asked that question earlier, that we should have mentioned that parent communication is huge. Building relationships with them, building trust with them, approaching when there's an issue at school. I think most of us approach it as calling the parents and saying, hey, you know, what's going on? This is what we're seeing. Are you seeing this too? More of like a team approach versus your kid did this and they're in trouble, you know? So that, I think that's, do you agree with that, Mary?
I do. And I also agree, because we do that, I think of all of us as a whole, we see the kids if they are having troubles in school, whatever it is, discipline or behavior or academics, there are different underlying issues that you work with the families to figure out what's going on so the students can have the best educational experience they can have.
Yeah. Well, you're doing remarkable work there. We know that. We're very fortunate to have Forest Bird Charter School in our community because everyone deserves a great education. It's what children thrive. They thrive, you know, in their home life and then at school life. It's important. So
if parents are listening and they want to learn more about the school, mm-hmm. what is the process for them to learn more and get their kid enrolled?
I would say visit our website at forestbirdcharterschool.org. There's a lot of information on there, and you can apply right online. Parents can also come in, take a tour of the school, visit with us. I love giving tours and talking up the school because we're amazing.
Also, it's free. There are still some people that don't know that the charter school is a free public school. Mm-hmm. There's no tuition, and it doesn't depend on how well your student is doing in school.
No. Yeah. When a parent applies, we don't know anything about it other than their name and that they want to be in. And if there's room, they get in. If there's not, there's a wait list.
Is there a wait list right now? I mean, could parents still get kids in for this coming school year?
Yeah, the middle school and grades 9, 11, and 12 are hitting wait lists right now. But I want to encourage people to still apply because we don't know which kids have moved out or mm-hmm. have decided a different educational choice. So oftentimes our wait list of kids can still get in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably you don't really know that until the first day of school, right?
Yeah.
Yes, or second day.
First week of school. Okay.
The website is great, so visit the website at forestbirdcharterschool.org, and you can apply there and find out more. What a fantastic job you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Susie, can I do a shout-out to somebody real quick?
Absolutely.
Our communications coach here at the school just had a baby yesterday. So Scout, congratulations on your little one, Jack Wilder Gates. And we are looking forward to meeting Jack, our newest staff member, one day old at Forest Bird Charter School. And I also want to give a shout out to Orion and Tim, our amazing supermen of the school. They are our custodians, and they work all the time to make our school look so lovely and welcoming. And I really appreciate all the work they do.
Yes, they are amazing.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah Evans, science teacher, new teacher, coach, and head of the science department.
Thank you so much.
And Mary Jensen, executive director of the Forest Bird Charter School. Thank you so much for coming in today. It's always fun to have you. We'll have a little mid-year touch-in and have you in at the right time. So keep us in mind.
Sounds good.